Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Hour number two here on a Thursday. The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here. On a somewhat cloudy, it's a very cloudy Thursday.
It's a dreary Thursday.
But we're gonna change that dreariness up here.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You hear the music. Sal Capaccio here on the Wester Hotline. Sal, good morning. How we doing?
I'm glad you said that. I hope you didn't say, like, well, we're gonna keep it going we're dreary with Sal here.
The Yankees won. Oh, no.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Cheering. Derek, who's your baseball team? I don't
the
even
Jays.
Know if I know this.
We have the collapse has begun.
Man.
It's not a Detroit.
You know what's
collapse.
Funny is I will tell you. I will tell you guys, in all honesty, like I like the Jays. I do. I root for them. Like, mm-hmm. you know, to be good. I don't openly root for them. Like, go Jays, but like I love their personalities. Obviously, with the connection here in Buffalo. I'm a big fan of a lot of their players. I'm a big Vladdy fan. Mm-hmm. You know, if it wasn't the situation these two teams are in right now, I'd be like, yeah, it's cool with the Jays, right? But, I mean, right now, I feel dirty saying it, but, oh, my God, am I a big Red Sox fan tonight.
It feels weird,
yeah,
doesn't it?
That
it feels
is,
real weird.
I think I heard the vomit in your mouth as you said that.
That's right, yeah.
We had a caller, Sal, in the first hour, Jerry, bring up like just how good of a sports weekend this is. Of course, we have Bills, Saints, but then you do have the end of the baseball season and how close a lot of these divisional races are. We have the Ryder Cup. I
yes.
brought up, too, the college football schedule on Saturday. There's a lot of top 15 matchups, Georgia-Alabama, Penn State-Oregon, LSU-Ole Miss. Like, it is a really good sports weekend.
You know, it's funny about college football. So, I mean, I don't love like everything that's happened with all the changes, and partly because I'm not as into it as I used to be because you can't follow the players as much for so many years and all that, right? So that's part of it. But I will say, with all of the changes with the conferences and all of the alignments and the added game, man, every week, dude, there's big games.
Oh, yeah.
Like every week, there are monster games on the college football schedule that we didn't see it like this in the past.
No, I think that's right. Like, it took to like rivalry weekend, which was obviously later into the season. Of course, you'd have Texas, Oklahoma kind of in the dead middle. But yeah, a lot of the times, like, we didn't have the crazy week ones we had this year, at least the hype. The game's a little bit less so. But yeah, I mean, that's true. It leads to every Saturday. It's like, oh my God, like, I have to be home by 7:30 to watch Oregon, Penn State, which is a conference game, which is still weird, but it should be a lot of fun. We can talk a little bit more baseball here in a little bit, but Sal, of course, the big news from yesterday, 4 players on the injury report, 3 of which did not play, although it should be mentioned, Spencer Brown, who was one of the guys that did not practice, did go on One Bills Live right after practice and say, I should be good.
Yeah, his own assessment was that he felt he'd be okay to play. We'll see where it goes. Obviously, it's not up to him, really. It's up to the training staff, mm-hmm. see where he is. But that's good news when you see calf injury for a guy that, you know, finished the game. You wonder, did something happen? But he said it kind of was – it was during the game, and he did finish. Bothered him, you know, but he should be okay. Matt Milano and Ed Oliver did not practice again. Sean McDermott sounded very optimistic about where they are right now and, you know, coming back from their – pectoral for Matt and ankle injury for Ed injuries. But we don't know yet. We'll see it practice today. There'll be no update pre-practice guys, but when they're on the practice field, we'll see if they are practicing today. I would think if somebody's not practicing today, one of these guys between Oliver and Milano, that wouldn't fare very well for them to play on Sunday, but you never know. If one of them, both of them are practicing today, I think that's a really good sign that maybe they could be available for Sunday. So we'll see about that. But I don't think there's any like long-term type of concern considering the way Sean McDermott has talked about it. The one concern I do have, this is something we'll monitor. AJ Epenesa was not listed by McDermott yesterday to be a non-participant or limited. And then we found out he was limited with a pectoral injury. Does that mean something happened? And if it did, pectoral injury, now you have to be concerned and wonder what that means. So let's just wait here a couple hours. We'll everybody can kind of stay tuned on my X feed at Sal Sports, and we'll give an update on I'll give an update on who's at practice and who isn't and who's doing what.
Sal, one of the other injury updates, obviously not on the report because he's not fully practicing yet, but Max Harrison. There were videos yesterday of him working out. He's of course got the brace on his knee, and at least from my reading and my listening of it, Sean McDermott did really want to kind of, I don't want to say really lower expectations, but did want to settle some expectations on maybe what we should expect from the first round rookie.
Yeah, I mean, he did say lower expectations, mm-hmm. but I mean, look, I just think this is a really interesting discussion, right? Because there's just how you want to interpret what the coach said and then what you saw. There's two parts of this. So let me ask you, you guys saw the video, right? You guys saw the mm-hmm. video of mm-hmm. Max Harrison. What's your interpretation of what you saw in the video?
He's got a little way. He's got a little ways
because
to go.
Of the brace?
Yeah. And this is maybe not the correct way to look at it. When I see that big of a brace for a corner, yep. I'm like, let's yep. wait a few more weeks.
And I think that I'm pretty much in the same boat of that. It is good that he's working out more than we had seen, though, obviously, in the past weeks. But, yeah, it's going to be something where they have the luxury of they can take their time with him and – once he starts practicing, you still have 3 weeks from there then finally fully elevate him.
Yeah, so it's really interesting because when I posted the video I had yesterday, I had a lot of people say, oh my God, look at that brace. He's nowhere close. And I don't think that's unfair. Mm-hmm. I think that's fine. My first inclination watching him was, boy, he looks pretty good for a guy wearing a brace like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the brace is on, but I thought he was moving well. I thought he was doing a lot of good exercises and, you know, using that knee and bouncing up and down on it. A lot of times the braces, big or small or whatever, are more just kind of stability, right? To make sure while you're doing it, you're not going to re-injure yourself. So I think there's a lot of ways you could look at it. I do think it's fascinating looking at that and getting the different interpretations from people. I just know I've seen guys in braces. Now, look, I see offensive linemen or defensive linemen braces. Right. That's a different deal mm-hmm. because it's such a different position. But sometimes they play with those braces on. So I don't think the brace is the end-all be-all for me. I think how he's moving is more indicative of me, for me. But that being said, Sean McDermott did say yesterday, he used the word if. He said when and if he comes back. And again, let's go to what is the history here of how these things are treated, which is this coach always wants to play it safe and not really put huge expectations on guys recovering from injuries and being on the field any sooner than what they might normally be. And the reason is, let's just say he goes, oh yeah, he's doing really well, and we expect him to come out in, you know, 3 weeks. Well, what if that 3 weeks goes and he's not on the field? Now you have more questions to answer. What happened? Did he suffer a setback? Did the training staff not evaluate it right? So you don't put those guys in a box like that. You don't paint your own self in a corner. So my interpretation of what Sean McDermott said was, hey, he's got a ways to go here because he hasn't even been practicing for 2 months. He's doing well. He's rehabbing. Let's see where it goes here. But yeah, guys, I mean, there's a lot of open-ended questions about if he's actually going to be on the field, at what point that is, or if you get to a point where you say, you know what, he's missed so much time and Dorian Strong's playing well and you got guys, let's not do it this year. I think that could be on the table.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline as the Bills were back at practice yesterday. they'll be back throughout it for the rest of the week. Sal, Tyler Bass, while there was a little pessimism and like tempering of expectations on one side, with Tyler Bass, it sounds like, at least to me, they're not planning on Matt Prater being the kicker for the season.
Right. I agree. I think it sounded to me like Sean McDermott was basically indicating that when Tyler Bass is healthy, he's the kicker. It's kind of like one of those deals where, you know, we've seen in sports, hey, when our starting quarterback's healthy, he's getting the job back. I don't care how good the backup did, right? Well, same thing here with a kicker. And guys, I mean, we've talked to Matt Prater. I've talked to Matt Prater. I think Matt Prater is very understanding of what his role is right now. His role is to do the best job he can until Tyler Bass is healthy. And I think that's just where we are right now. And I'll make another point. I said this on the pod and someone said, hey, they didn't think about that. When the weather starts to turn, I know Matt Prater has had big, long kicks in his career. He's older, too. When the weather starts to turn, you might need a stronger leg, a younger guy in Tyler Bass to be able to make some kicks versus Matt Prater. I don't know. Is that something they're thinking about, right? I'm not saying they are or they aren't, but I just think there's a lot here. When Tyler Bass is healthy, he's going to be the kicker on this team. The question is, when is he healthy? He is in the same boat as Max Hairston. Tyler Bass is eligible to start practicing after next Sunday's game. So is Max Hairston. The Bills can also just say, you're not practicing. You're on IR until we feel that you're ready to come off IR. Whenever that is, at any point with either guy, when they step on the practice field, the team has 21 days, not weeks and bye weeks, 21 days to then put that person on the active roster. So I think you probably look at it and go, well, let's see what the training staff says. Oh, they say he might be able to fully be functional and ready to go by this certain date. Let's work 21 days back, and that's when we should put him on the practice field.
And I wonder, too, with the bye week, being an early bye week for the Bills, there are some positives and negatives to that. I wonder, looking at Hairston, too, if that's maybe going to be his sort of saving grace there, is that they will have maybe more of a ramp-up period for him if he's healthy enough to get back on the field. Sal, I will say, I do want to jump back to Harrison's health and maybe it being a quote-unquote redshirt year for him. The Bills are getting great contributions from Jackson Hawes and Deion Walker, so I do not want to make it sound like they're not getting anything out of the rookie class. But it is a steep mountain to climb for any organization if, no fault of his own, Hairston is not able to play this year, first-round pick due to an injury. TJ Sanders, we're having honest conversations about if when Hoyt and Ogunjobi come back, if he's an inactive. And Landon Jackson up to this point, both in preseason and training camp and into the season, has kind of been an afterthought because he really hasn't shown that he can really suit up and be an integral part of this defense, a unit that is struggling in most statistical or many statistical categories. It's just, it is a tough road to go for the Bills if they're really not getting much out of their rookie class, and that being the top three of their rookie class.
Yeah, and of course, right, Hairston, as you said, it's just the injury, right? But guys, I would also say, I don't think he was starting anyway, to be honest with you.
Right.
Yeah. I think Tre'Davious White would have been the starter. Now, who knows, by now maybe, we talk about, 3 weeks in, 4 weeks in, but nothing at camp indicated to me until he got hurt that he was the starting corner. That was Tre'Davious White's job. He was going to have to go take it, and maybe eventually he would have. So, you're right. Look, this is a great debate. We've talked about it this week a lot. Matt and I have had this discussion on Always Game Day. I just think there's a lot of different tentacles here, which is, ideally, every team wants all their draft picks to contribute immediately. Ideally, that's always the case, right? You draft a guy, especially first, second, third round, he needs to be playing. Bulldog made the argument yesterday, especially when you're trying to contend for a Super Bowl, you need those guys to contribute. I think you could look at it the other way and say, well, if you're trying to contend for a Super Bowl and you're relying on rookies to contribute, then maybe you're not as good as you think you are. I think you have to have a better roster than that. There's a couple different ways you could look at that. The question comes down to me. I've been thinking about this a lot, all right? Let's say you think Landon Jackson, it's a disappointment that he hasn't gotten a jersey yet. Let's say you think that TJ Sanders, if all of a sudden he becomes inactive on game day, that's a super big disappointment for you, which is totally fair and fine. I think the question I have then is, whose fault is it, or who are you blaming, and what's the reason? Because are you saying that you're disappointed that the player isn't good enough? Good enough to do what? Good enough to beat out veterans who are ahead of them? That might be unfair. I don't know. Or it could be fair from you. Are you saying that you're blaming that they shouldn't have drafted that player there? That's fine too. Then who would they have taken? And would that person be playing a different on Sundays? Like if they would have taken a wide receiver in the third round, is he playing over the guys they have now? I'm not sure about that. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that there's so many ways you can kind of slice this and look at it. And I've always said, and I maintain, I think the Bills roster's good. They're a Super Bowl contending team. it's a lot harder for these guys to crack the lineup than it would be for a lot of other teams.
And it also should be noted, too, it's not that the entire rookie class is not doing anything. As previously mentioned, you know, Jackson Hawes is a revelation for them with running three tight ends and everything they're able to do.
And Dorian Strong started week one.
Dorian Strong, absolutely. And then, of course, Deion Walker, who on national shows is getting shouted out as like, hey, this is like a gem find in the fourth round for them. This is great. Sal, looking over to the Bills' opponent on Sunday, 1 p.m. kickoff against the Saints, it should be noted this is a player I was somewhat interested in if the Bills maybe wanted to go for in free agency. They ultimately fill that role with Joey Bosa, but Chase Young has not played this season yet, and he did not practice again yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I follow the reporters from the Bills' opponent to find out what's going on, and one of the things that somebody who covers the Saints wrote something along the lines of the Chase Young injury went from, oh yeah, he's going to be fine, to we have no idea when he's going to play. So I don't know what's going on there, but this is a team that went out and this is a player that I think they really thought would be a big part of their defense and what they wanted to do, but it's not going well right now for the New Orleans Saints in a lot of ways. And that's one of the ways right now where, they got a lot of points hung on them last week, obviously by Seattle, and it could have been more. They just basically, ran them out of the building, the stadium, in the first half. So that's a guy that is going to be, missed for them in a game like this if he doesn't play. But I think they have a lot of just overall bigger issues, and it's more of a team that seems like they're rebuilding and resetting with a rookie head coach.
Yeah, and even then, too, we had Luke Johnson, who covers the Saints of NOLA.com, yesterday on it, and he also mentioned, too, like, they've got a young quarterback, second-year Spencer Rattler. He's 0-9, though, in his career. He hasn't even gotten his first win yet, and so, like, it kind of feels like the whole thing with the Saints is just, look, at least they're not going the veteran route where we're just going to try and make this work, and they're going to still finish with 6-7 wins. With Derek Carr, you're at least going that route. But we also mentioned with him, too, the big-name quarterbacks in the draft that you were looking at in the preseason all have somewhat flamed out to start this year in college. So it's the Saints are in kind of a rough spot.
Yeah, you're right. And, I mean, but I think that Spencer Rattler has shown me a little bit once in a while, right? I don't know if you bail on that right away, do you? I don't know. If you want to draft a quarterback, look, if you're drafting top of the draft, I guess that's your chance. You have to take a quarterback. It's what you do. It's what the Titans did with Cam Ward, right? You almost have to do it, I guess. I get that. But I also think there's something to be said for developing a quarterback, and I think Spencer Rattler has a chance to develop a little bit. And if you're not going to surround him with good talent, it doesn't matter if it's him or a first-round pick this year. You're just kind of doing the same thing, aren't you? So it's a tough call for them long-term. By the way, I found it. It was the tweet was from Chris Razvaglo. I apologize if I say his name wrong. Podcaster at for the Saints, who wrote, the Chase Young injury situation went from it's no big deal to who knows when he'll play. Man. So that's how they're looking at that in New Orleans.
That's one of like you hear that quote for any fan base, and that's the lowest you'll get. Because that's deflating as can be. I think, honestly, both for a fan base, probably for a team as well, of just like, we're going to be fine. Actually, we have no idea what's happening. I mean, that's when the next tweet, Sal, will be he's in Germany trying to get, a second or third opinion. Those are one of the – Chris McCaffrey was this too, where he's fine. We have no idea. Now he's overseas in Europe. It's a really tough go. Sal, I do want to ask you, too, because me and Derek have been talking about it. I think it's been a topic for a lot of Bills fans the last week, and we even took a few calls on it as well. How much thought have you put into Chiefs-Ravens and who exactly you want to win that game?
Ooh, this is great. So I was actually, believe it or not, right before I went on with you guys, I was responding to a tweet I was going to put out, and I haven't put it out yet because I wanted to make sure I was doing this first, and then I could kind of make sure it looks good. So somebody asked me. Ms. Aster on Twitter, thank you, says, do we want, meaning the Bills fans, the Ravens or KC to win this weekend? So here's my response, and you tell me what you think about this, okay? My response is, we've debated this on pod and radio. If the Bills win, okay, you can't assume that, but you can assume it, but you never know. So let's just say the Bills win. If the Chiefs then win and beat the Ravens, the Chiefs would stay two games back of the Bills, and the Ravens would be four games back.
Mm-hmm.
If the Ravens win, both teams would be three games back. I think that's what you want.
Okay.
Yeah, I think both having both teams three games back is better for the Bills than the Ravens being 4 and the Chiefs being 2 and still coming to Buffalo to play you.
Mm-hmm. I had somewhat gotten to it where I was looking at the team's divisions and how much do I believe they're going to be stuck in the mud. Like, you look at the AFC North.
I look at Joe it, the one seed.
Yeah, Joe Burrow's out, and Pittsburgh is kind of Pittsburgh. They're kind of, at least now, traditionally the 6-7 seed. You kind of just know that. And Cleveland can't form an offense. Where the AFC West, Jim Harbaugh in year 2 with the Chargers, they look great. Denver probably will figure their stuff out, but they're a little not great right now. And the Raiders aren't very good. But to me, it's that Chargers point where – the Chiefs, if they go to 1-3, probably are not going to be one of the top 4 seeds. I think there's a good chance there through 4 weeks they won't win the division, where I can't say the same for the Ravens. But I think the 1 seed point might also be right in that sense too, because later in the year we could have those conversations with them playing Philadelphia, who might also have the 1 seed locked up. Hey, can we maybe start pulling back a little bit and get that needed rest the Bills haven't had the last few years in this run?
Yeah, that's right. Even last year when they rested most of their guys week 18, they had to play the next week against Denver.
Yep.
So I get that. And I think over the last few years, the Bills have gotten banged up a bit in you know, these first-round games. Pittsburgh, they really got banged up a few years ago. That's when they lost a bunch of linebackers, right? And they didn't have anybody really against Kansas City that year. So no doubt that has happened. I think Gabe Davis got hurt that the game before that, I think it was, either way. But, you know, end of the year, that week 18 game, he got hurt actually against the Dolphins that the Bills won. And he missed time. By the way, just a side note, people forget Gabe Davis is also in this same injury as everybody.
That's right.
He's on the practice squad injured. So starting next Monday, the Bills could actually put him on the practice squad and have him start practicing again. And then they would have, and then he would be eligible to start playing again as well. Just so everybody's aware of that. Let me ask you, I'll run this by you. Here's what Matt Bove's take was on this whole KC Baltimore thing was that I thought was interesting. I don't really agree with him, but it's what he said. He said he's going to assume Baltimore wins their division anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said, so he would rather have KC win, because if they become a wild card, they become way more dangerous to play the Bills. I think what he's saying is he's rooting for KC to win the division, so neither team's a wild card.
Because if
either team's a wild card, they could play the Bills in their first round game.
I totally get that from Matt. Like, me and Derek have talked about it. I've talked with some of my buddies about it too. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, wouldn't that just be the Bills' luck where they finally get the 1 seed?
Sal is
still in the divisional round. They will play one of Baltimore or Kansas City because they both were not very good and were a
wild
card.
Sal was sitting
team.
To my right at Riverworks when I mentioned. Mm-hmm. The monkey's paw 1 seed of, like, I don't know if Sal was actually like there yet, but like the same day at Riverworks, I brought up the monkey's paw 1 seed of the Bills get the 1 seed and Kansas City upset somebody. And who do the Bills play right away in the divisional round? Kansas City. And it's like, hello, this is I'm inevitable, like Thanos. But I do think it's going to be one of those things where Sal. I'm going to go ahead and agree about, like, not agreeing on what Bove says on this. I kind of want the Bills to be the one to put the knife in Kansas City.
You mean, like, in the playoffs?
Yeah. Yes. I want the Bills.
You're rooting for the Bills to play the Chiefs in the playoffs, right?
I'm not.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm not rooting for it, but I'm not
he kinda wants
for it.
He kind of wants it.
I am rooting for
well,
it.
Well, listen, isn't the dream scenario that if we could all actually write the book, okay? If we could write the book and we knew it and whatever we write actually comes to existence, wouldn't we all say Kansas City comes to Buffalo for the AFC Championship and the Bills beat them? Of course.
The Lannisters right? send their regards.
Then you say, okay, close the stadium down, you slayed the dragon, the demons are gone, you beat Kansas City, you didn't have them go to four straight Super Bowls to tie your record. If we could all write the script and it would actually happen the way we wrote it, the problem is we can't write the script and we don't know. And that proposition to me still is I'd rather not play either of those teams in the playoffs, much less both in the same playoff.
Yeah, I want Colts as the four seed with Daniel Jones coming to Buffalo, and then I want an L.A. team coming to Buffalo in the AFC Championship. That's where I'm at. I'm not going to try to get unrealistic and be like, no, I want Jacksonville in the AFC Championship.
I mean, yeah, you want Jacksonville.
But give me the West Coast team that's in a dome coming to Buffalo for the AFC Championship, and give me Daniel Jones in the divisional round. I think for a lot of Bills fans, it's not the end all be all the matchups necessarily. I think it is much more the one seed. You get that rest. You don't get beat up in the wild card round because the Bills win that game every year, it feels like, but they seem to pick up a big injury. Not even mentioning last year, if I remember correctly, Christian Benford picks up a concussion against Denver and ultimately picks up another one again. No, I'm sorry, that's in the divisional round. But they've dealt with those injuries in those wild card matchups, and it has hurt them enormously. And so I think I care more for that. I though, Sal, as much as I liked, and I'm sorry to bring this up because, you know, as you mentioned, you're already pained to root for the Red Sox now. But I've watched those Netflix documentaries on that 04 season with the Red Sox and how much the Yankees and Boston went back and forth and how much Boston really was kind of always the bridesmaid to them until 04. They finally got that moment. It is perfect. It is storybook. I don't necessarily need it, though. I just want the championship.
Give
I don't really
me.
Care how it happens. I don't need getting past the dragon. I'm cool. I'm cool if I show up and he's already dead. I'm fine with that. Just give me the treasure. That's all I
need.
I'd
just rather play Kansas City than Baltimore at this point.
That I will agree with. Sal, I don't know about you. At Baltimore, until Derrick Henry's off that team, I fear that matchup.
I do too. I think it's just a bad matchup. It's just a bad matchup for the Bills.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, you know, that's just the way the two teams are built. I went on New Orleans radio last night with our Odyssey station there and Bobby Hebert, and he said, oh, my God. He goes, I'm looking at this rush defense. It's 32nd. He's like, what is going on there? I'm like, well, what happened was they played the Baltimore Ravens, right? Yeah, no, I'm not telling you it was great. Of course, the Bills allowed those rushing yards. But, you know, this is just a bad matchup. That's what happens. The Ravens can run, and they did on the Bills because of the way that they're built. The Bills are more built to be more of a team to guard and stop the pass, and it's no excuse. You can't have 238 yards rushing. That's not something you want. No doubt about that. I'm not telling you that. But it's certainly just not the best matchup for them, the way the Ravens want to play and are built versus the way the Bills want to play and are built.
Absolutely. All right, Sal, we've kept you more than long enough. Thank you for jumping on with us this morning. We'll let you get ready for practice today, and we'll talk again soon, man.
Okay, you got it.
Thanks, Sal. Sal.
They're on the West Her Hotline. Sal will also be back on for the Extra Point Show tomorrow, where he'll be talking with Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We'll hopefully get even more of an injury look at the Bills heading into the weekend. 803-0550, the number to call. I want to jump on the show talking Ravens-Chiefs, who you want to win that Sunday. I think it's a really, really good conversation to have. And funny enough, I mean, we're having these playoff discussions week 4 feels crazy, but it is sort of the life the Bills live right now. Again, number to call, 803-0550. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Hour number two continues to roll along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer with you here on a Thursday morning. We got the Sabres tonight, 6 p.m. pregame, 7 p.m. puck drop, both going to be right here on WGR. We've also got Thursday night football, Seattle and Arizona, both off to an interesting start of the year. Sam Darnold looks to be last year's Sam Darnold in Arizona's winning games. Marvin Harrison might be bad. That's going to be over on our sister station, the Bet 1520. He might be.
Damn.
He might be. Did you see the drop?
Yeah.
Wide open? Come on, man.
He's got some problems. I mean, even Ohio State fans I'm seeing are like, this is not the same Marvin Harrison. What happened?
No, that is absolutely true. And he is really – what's going to be crazy, and I'll feel bad. I'm not rooting for the guy to fail by any means, but – like, Ohio State and LSU have kind of become, like, the draft their receiver no matter what. Like, even if it's, like, a fourth-round flyer on an LSU or Ohio State, you just do it. Like, they're going to be solid. He's really testing that, and he's, like, the best one of the group. In college, he was a demon. But they're squaring off tonight. I believe kickoff is 8:15 over on Amazon Prime, and as I mentioned, our sister station, the Bet 1520. We talked about Chiefs. Ravens, the Sunday, 4:25 in Kansas City. Kansas City's a home dog for that game as well. Very interesting. We were able to mention the Chargers there. They're 3-0. I think for many of us, the belief is if Kansas City loses, the Chargers will go on and win that division, and the Chiefs will be looking at it as a wild card team. At what point do we have to start putting thoughts into Indianapolis with how bad the AFC South is?
I think that that's a good question, and I do think we've got ourselves a pretty good timeline on that. Sunday.
Playing the Rams.
Rams have a solid group there. Not perfect. Obviously, they lost against the Eagles in a very frustrating way. But if you can get by the Rams defense that has been tough to play against, can you deal with it? Can you put up points? Can you be productive? Can you slow down Puka Nacua?
Yeah, that's going to be more one. It's still stunning the Rams lost that game. They were up, 26-7 and ultimately don't score another point.
Yeah.
It's 26 unanswered from Philly to win that game. Of course, one of them being a blocked kick return for a touchdown. But still, I mean, they dominated the second half of that game and ultimately win it. You look at the Colts, though, just looking for points for, points against. They're second in the league in points for, 103.
Mm-hmm.
Points against, their ninth in the league, giving up just 56. This is a good roster. The fear with them and the uncertainty with them was just how bad would the quarterback position be. We talked about it once Daniel Jones was named the starter. Maybe you should just be going with Anthony Richardson. Daniel Jones is probably the worst option in the sense of you're not going to learn anything and you'll be bad.
It was me. I said these things.
I can tell you, though, just through 3 weeks, the opposite has been true. He has been phenomenal. Jonathan Taylor is leading the league in rushing, and they're getting a lot from all of their receivers. Tyler Warren, as a rookie tight end, is second in receptions. Michael Pittman has 16 already. They've got Josh Downs going. Alec Pierce is a thing. I mean, he's always been a thing. He's a deep threat.
Mm-hmm.
They're just really making it work. And then, as I mentioned there, with their defense, they're not having really much of an issue at all. They're stopping teams from scoring. They're not playing necessarily great teams, but they're blowing them out.
Right.
And then last week, they get the win over Denver. They get the blowout win over Tennessee. And they're able to just kind of put their foot down and go. And their schedule does point to they might be able to go on a bit of a run here if you believe they're legit. You've mentioned that they're playing the Rams this week. It's at L.A. It's not really much of a home field advantage, but I don't really necessarily know how much Colt fans travel. So it might be more of a L.A. fan base. But even if they lose that game to go to 3-1, next up is Vegas at home. Then Arizona at home. Those two are probably very winnable games. If not, they're going to be outright favored in them, both
right
at home. At the Chargers, that should be a fun game. It's in the middle of the Bills' bye week, 4:05 game at L.A. that's probably going to be another one of those games we're all talking about bye week of. We're watching, and who do you want to win that? Who do you think won't be able to keep going in the one seed race, potentially? Then you get Tennessee at home, at Pittsburgh, and Atlanta at home before their bye week. That is a really nice schedule for them. And in a division that is really bad.
And yeah, especially because of the fact that last year's winner and probably your presumptive favorite over the past couple of years is 0-3.
Mm-hmm.
The Texans not only are 0-3, they look disjointed, particularly on the offensive line. Again. And CJ Stroud has been affected.
Yeah, when you trade away the entire offensive line and can't really rebuild it, this shouldn't be surprising.
Right.
Boy, is it bad.
You would have even thought that maybe there might be this like addition by subtraction, and no, that's not what's happened at all. And it just gets to a point where I don't know what you do. But it's been a disaster for the Texans in that part where C.J. Stroud is a shell of himself right now from what he was in his rookie year. And now I think that, like, you look back on, like, how in his second year Stroud's, like, making waves with, like, the podcast where he puts himself in the top five.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, like, there's no Josh Allen or Joe Burrow in there, for example. The win against the Bears where he's telling Caleb Williams, yeah, learn from this. Learn from this game.
Acting like he's a vet
when he's in his second year.
they're not both really young guys.
Yeah, and now you're looking at it and going, they've ruined him.
Yeah, the regression has been very aggressive. I mean, to the point now, yeah, they're 0-3. I like D'Amico Ryans a lot in his first year and what they were able to do. I still like the defense a ton.
Yeah, the defense is good.
But they also seem to play with their hair on fire in both a negative and a positive sense. They take a lot, or they did at least last year. I haven't checked this year, but they take a lot of penalties. And they do look really disjointed in most units. The offense, though, in particular, looks terrible. The Jacksonville game, Jacksonville-Houston, this past Sunday, was nearly unwatchable. I was enjoying it because of how bad it was, and there was some entertainment to that. But it was horrendous to watch both those teams play. And those are thought to be maybe two of the favorites in that division. Jacksonville getting Travis Hunter. You've got Liam Cohen. Maybe he's going to unlock.
Spending a first-round pick to make that move.
Yeah. Maybe he's going to lock Trevor Lawrence. You've already got Brian Thomas Jr. Like, here come the Jaguars, especially when you look at Houston's offensive line. Oh, but wait, but Houston still has C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins. That defense is awesome. Derek Stingley and their edge rushers. Nope, it's the Colts. And the Colts really in that division are the only team that doesn't look lost. I think this is a lot of credit as well to their head coach with Shane Steichen, who might be one of those like Kevin O'Connell, Matt LaFleur kind of head coaches where he may not need the all-world quarterback to make – he would like the all-world quarterback, but he may not need it to make it work.
I was going to turn this over to Chris Ballard. There's one position he has not figured out yet, and it's the most important position in football. That said, the man can build a roster. The Colts have a talented roster. What they don't have is a quarterback. And over the past 9 years, it's been rent-a-QB.
Yeah, since Luck's retirement.
Since Luck's retirement, it's been basically rent-a-quarterback. Then they actually try to invest a high pick into one, and quite frankly, it's just the wrong one.
Mm-hmm.
This may not be Shane Steichen being a Kevin O'Connell type. It may just be just how much Anthony Richardson was not it.
And that Daniel Jones is?
It's not even that Daniel Jones is.
Or that Richardson really...
It's that Richardson really just was not it. The Colts are a good team that need a quarterback that has better than a 40 completion percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, and you brought up the too high safety look. I mean, like the fact that the deep ball has really been taken away. Richardson couldn't go the intermediate and short routes. That was his big thing that he... The Colts during camp were releasing those like fun videos to get you hyped up. For Richardson, it wasn't bombs. It was that he was completing a dump off.
Yeah.
Like, that's what was supposed to get fans excited. Where Jones, you also wonder, too, we've seen some of these, you know, rebirths, these you know, rebuild projects from these quarterbacks who were previously thought to be busts. Sam Darnold last year becomes a 4,000-yard passer, and he looks really darn good in Seattle right now. Geno Smith is kind of that first guy to do it. Maybe Daniel Jones is the next where, hey, the Giants put a terrible roster around me. I just need a good coach and a good roster. Here you go.
What was the New York Giants problem over the past couple of years, and it still is one of their biggest problems.
Their offensive line is awful.
You've drafted Eric Flowers. You've had Bobby Hart on your roster. There's another one, Evan Neal.
Yeah.
They have just been bad at drafting offensive linemen and tackles in particular. Andrew Thomas looks pretty good, but he's hurt a decent amount.
All pro from a few years ago, but yeah.
But, you know, he's at least good. But you've set your franchise back because those are offensive linemen, though. They're playing with Daniel Jones. And now, all of a sudden, you have the Colts, who quietly, over the past few years, they've assembled one of the better rosters and better offensive lines in the game. And that's been known for years, at least, though, for the Colts. They have one of the better offensive lines in the game. They had an off year a couple years back, and you're like, okay, what happened there? Well, they fixed it. Daniel Jones has an offensive line. Probably for the first time ever. The man played at Duke. I'm not going to go ahead and accuse Duke of having big boys that know what they're doing.
No, they spent a lot of money this year in the NIL. It's not gone great.
And Duke historically is not a program that is going to get the big beefy boys. That's Big Ten ball right there.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Jones might have an offensive line for the first time since like high school.
Might.
A good offensive line.
He's looked very good. I wanted to really kind of pump the brakes on it initially. And I mean, if you've listened to the reverse AFC power rankings with Chauvin the Bulldog, I was very adamant. I can't really believe in a Daniel Jones-led team being very good. He's kept it going. Are they beating bad teams for the most part? Yes, they do have that win against Denver in week two. That was a close win.
I was going to say, but so they, the I Bills.
Mean, you know, yeah. But like we brought up yesterday, the Bills do have that credibility. They've had the years building up of like, all right, I know Josh Allen's very good. I know McDermott's a good coach. Like they're going to be there. The Colts don't necessarily have – Daniel Jones certainly does not have that.
Right.
Maybe they're starting to build that. I just – we talk a lot about Chiefs and Ravens, but one of them is going to be 1-3. And there's a darn good chance that both the Colts and the Chargers are 4-0, potentially with the Bills also being 4-0. Then the one-seed conversation – after the first months of the season, quickly changes to who cares about Baltimore and Kansas City? It's these three.
And Sunday could go a long way for the credibility of the Colts. The Rams are a tough test.
Taking on the Rams, Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford
on the road.
Yep. You beat them. I think many people, including myself, would probably start to look at them and go,
you start taking them seriously after that.
803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour with Sabres playing preseason game number 3 tonight at Detroit. We'll wrap up the show when we come back. You're listening to WGR.
As Wilson
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
To keep it alive. The game's final play is a Wilson lob to the end zone, which is fought for by Tate with Jennings simultaneous. Who has it? Who do they give it to? Touchdown! One guy goes up, touchdown. The other said no time.
This is deciding who wins the game on this call.
Further ado, call on the field stands. Touchdown.
Seahawks win in the most bizarre finish you'll ever see.
Mike Tirico there on the call 13 years ago. The Fail Mary game between the Seattle Seahawks and the Green Bay Packers. Happy 13-year anniversary. We were talking Russell Wilson yesterday.
Yeah, so it's relevant.
This is one of his early iconic moments. I think it's his second year. 14-12 win over Green Bay. This is the replacement refs, and this pretty much put the nail in the coffin of we need to get the refs back.
We need
back
to get the guys back.
Because this was bad.
The Fail Mary, I love the other nickname it has called the Inaccurate Reception.
Inaccurate Reception's fantastic.
I feel like that should be the name
That's
of it.
That's so much better than Fail Mary. Inaccurate Reception is so good.
But the best part is that there is a blatant offensive pass interference by Tate in the end zone. Golden Tate just two-hand shoves the corner in front of him, and no flag is thrown there, which is already weird, you know. And then one calls for a touchback, one calls for touchdown, and they have to converge on this and talk it all over. Oh, by the way, there's no video review at the time, like for all scoring plays automatically get reviewed. They just trot off the field.
That's good. That's really good.
Well, I mean, they go through everything and then just, hey, this is what it is. Touchdown. And then peace. We're out of here.
I do remember the reactions after this game was immediately, we need to get the officials back. This cannot go on.
And 2 days later, they're back.
And this was a week three game. I mean, that's why it's 13 years ago today. It's a week three game. But through the first 2 weeks, it was not good. For most of week three, it was really not good. And then, of course, you have this, and it is sort of that perfect culmination of, no, this cannot continue. It is fun to look back, though, at the rosters. Cedric Benson, rest in peace, is the leading rusher for the Green Bay Packers with 45 yards and a touchdown. This is, you know, peak Aaron Rodgers, you know, at the peak of his powers. These two teams will end up meeting in an NFC title game in Seattle where Russell Wilson, I think, throws four or five picks, and they still win because actually, the Packers could not score touchdowns.
Do you know the best part about this?
What is it?
The Packers have to return to the field.
Oh,
after
really?
This play. They had not gotten rid of the mandatory conversion attempt on that. Because the Packers would have been able to block and return it to win the game. So they do have to trot out a PAT for this to happen.
That's a shame. Yeah, crazy game. 13 years ago today, I still remember, like, again, it was less the game I remember itself and much more of the afterwards and how everyone was upset. I can't remember exactly when all the officials returned. Was it the next week or was it like 2 weeks after or something like that? It was very soon after this, but man, what a game. There are a few of those Hail Mary moments, though. Of course, Bills fans have theirs negatively with the Arizona Cardinals, but even last year we saw
the Jets.
But even last year we did see, though, Washington and Chicago. Chicago's season goes into a tailspin, and really the legend of Jaden Daniels for his rookie year, at least,
it begins
forms there, and they just go on a heater
that's
the rest
right.
of the year.
The Bears were going to win that game and instead go on, what was it, like a 12-game losing streak or something? It was an absolute tailspin to end the year.
Something like that. I mean, yeah, they were 4-2 at that point. I mean, they had a winning record. They were good. Not good, but you could really be excited about the year. They go into a tailspin, Washington off to the races. Speaking of Washington, Jaden Daniels was limited yesterday in practice as he's looking to make his return. They did win, though, with Marcus Mariota in at quarterback, so Washington keeping that going. And then, as we have been saying, the Sabres are in action tonight. Pre-game for that with Shopin the Bulldog will be at 6 for a 7 p.m. puck drop. That game is going to be radio only right here on WGR. But for more on tonight's game, do stay tuned as coming up next after a quick timeout. Sabres Live is on the way. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.